This is a redundant question. Who am I? This is Dr. Herbert Albarelli, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. A redundant question, who am I? Now, we have to title this a redundant question, who am I, because we have other lectures, other talks, who am I, and they would be erased if we did not put redundancy of who am I before in the title. So, that said, what difference does it make? What difference does it make what we do with our life? What difference does it make what we think about who we are? What difference does it make? Well, we talked about this 13-year-old boy who was bored with school and he wanted to do something creative. So he read up on fission, atomic fission activity, and then he spent 1 year reading up on it. Most of all, he's 13 years old. And then when he's 14, he built it. It took him a year to build it and gather the materials together from his savings. And then he built the reactor, and it worked. Now, is that who that boy is? Is he a boy who built this fission reactor? Yes. Is he a boy who was bored with school? Yes. Is he a boy who had a dream, and because his dream was something he wanted to do, and he had no idea of how to do it, except to start at the bottom, he went to the theses of various graduate students in the universities, and he read up on atomic fission, and he read up on how to make a device. And he followed their instructions to the letter, but in a miniature form, not in the great form that the federal government uses. And he made a device that worked. And so now he's going to go on into the business of making those devices, isn't he? No. Why not? Because that was just something that delighted him for the moment. But he wanted to accomplish this dream. And he wanted to accomplish this dream, and he didn't really know what the dream was, because he just knew that it was a fission reactor and it'd be kind of fun to do. So he prepared himself very properly. He read up on all of the people who have done the latest research on it. Not what exists in books, not what exists in the public records, not what exists where everyone can look. But he went into the minds, into the thinking minds of the unlimited beings working on their master papers at the university. And they were writing up this idea as a creative idea based upon facts, based upon the truth of how it can be done, and they wrote it down. And he studied them. He didn't understand all of it, but he had dictionaries. And his dictionaries helped, and he had Wikipedia, and he had all sorts of things on the internet, and he was on that constantly. Well, he was a dedicated student to that particular project. Well, now, he has gained the talent of doing it, and he has no interest, perhaps, of going further. Maybe he does, not that we know. And why did he go to all that bother? 2 years of his life of dedicated, driving enthusiasm toward one little project that might be nothing at all. Well, because this is what a genius is. This is what education is. Education is not taking what someone else has and learning it. Education is taking what someone else has and using it. Applying it in your life and in your world. Now, people come to the University of Healing, and they say, oh, University of Healing, I want to be healed, and I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to go out and help people, and I want to go and be a minister, and I want to do this. And I say, oh, bull roar. That's not what we're all about. We're about one thing and one thing only. We're about this 13-year-old boy who decided that he is going to learn all about nuclear fission that to build his gadget, and he did it. He didn't say, I'm going to skip this because I don't need that, and I'm going to skip that because I don't need this. He went step by step in the way in which previous people had done it and been successful. And because he had an open mind, because he had a dedicated mind, because his mind was disciplined, he accomplished it. So when people come into the University of Healing and they say, I want to have credit for my work experiences, I want to have credit for my previous university experiences and my previous studies, and I want to become a spiritual master because I have studied dance, and I have studied art, and I have studied science, and I have studied this, and each is a different one. And we say, well, now, that's good. Now, I will ask you a silly question. What benefit did you get out of taking the course in dance at the university? Oh, I learned how to dance, and I learned different dances and things like that. What did you learn in those courses? I learned how to dance. I learned how. What did you learn in those courses? I learned how to dance. You see, they look at the obvious. I learned how to dance. What did they learn at the university in the dance course?
To love dance, to understand it, to accept it.
Discipline.
There. They learn the art of discipline, of being a disciplined dancer. Now, how well they are a disciplined dancer is evident in how well they dance and how beautifully they live the choreography of what they're doing. Now, what you're saying, Ingeborg, is right also. But it's this discipline. Now, this young man in building this reactor, he learned discipline. He learned discipline in disciplining his mind to accomplish whatever he wants. Now, for the rest of his life, whatever he turns his attention to, he'll turn his attention to it, not I know it all, which he does, but he'll turn his attention to it from the point of view of I can reveal these things because within me is the knowledge to do it, and I have the capacity to. I perceive this. I can perceive anything. So you come up to him. And, for instance, now if he had been a Bill Gates, and you would come up to him and say, Bill, your mother's dying of X. And Bill says, oh, God, I've got to get people going out to help her. I've got to take my money and build hospitals to find remedies for her. Well, now, where did Bill go wrong? Bill Gates might not appreciate me saying this, but where did he go wrong? He didn't take his mother's project on as his project. Now, true, he might not have become a billionaire if he had done it, but he might have found the cure for his mother's disease because he has the genius, the dedication, the diligence, he has the discipline to follow through on something he starts. He is such a one-pointed person, and that's why he's so successful. He is so one-pointed on what he's doing. He's not interested in developing the business and developing the money and developing. He's just interested in his idea, like Michelangelo. His famous paintings are not because he was after money. His famous paintings are not because he was after the attention of other people, the approval of other people. His famous paintings were because he listened within himself and he disciplined himself to work night and day painting those things, sculpting those things. That was the essence of his being, art. The reproduction of what he sees in life and bringing it out. Now, if you were to look at what Michelangelo looked at and then work on it from your point of view, you would not have a masterpiece. And you would not have a masterpiece because that's not you. Mm. You see, Michelangelo looks at something and he sees it entirely different than you or I. And he sees a beauty in there that we missed. And a painter paints a picture of a field and you say, well, that's not a photographic picture. No, he paints what he sees in there. He paints the emotions, he paints the feelings, he paints the ideal. This young man who was building the reactor, he painted, he created what he wanted to create. And he didn't create it to be something deadly, he created it to show that he could do it. And it was just a demonstration that he could do it. Now, if he had chosen to build a car. Now, I liked what... I don't remember the name of the car, but the it's some people who are creating a new car, and this new car is quite beautiful, and it's quite powerful and so forth. And the designer of the car is saying, "I want this car to have the same appeal that Apple computers have for the people." I want this car to have, a car is a car is a car. I mean, the essence of a car is always the same, but the manner in which the car is presented, the manner in which Michelangelo created the scene on the Sistine Chapel, that was a genius that nobody else could duplicate. When Michelangelo did it, that was wonderful. When Leonardo da Vinci came along to do his, totally different. He's beautiful, wonderful, but a totally different approach, a totally different understanding, and his attitude was totally different. His attitude was totally different. And what did they do to Leonardo da Vinci's great painting in the chapel? They cut a hole through it and put a doorway through it. They replaced it later years, but you see, when you do something so perfect, it can never be destroyed, it can never be changed. Now, the people who study at the University of Healing, and they say they want to get credit for a refuse because they want a degree, and we say, well, we're not in the degree program, that just is part of our program, but that's like having frosting on your cake. First, you want the cake. And if you don't have a good cake, the frosting isn't going to do you any good. If you wear all these degrees, as many people do, and do nothing with them, don't utilize them to the slightest degree, then what benefit is there in having all those certifications? You know, I can go through our students at the University of Healing here, and I can look at maybe a dozen, just at random. And maybe two or three are doing something with their education. The rest of them are doing something with their degrees. And they want to show off their degree. They want to show off their degree and lay it out in front of the people and say, here's my degree, here's my degree, here's my degree. What you want to do, I would think, is to show off or lay out in front of yourself and the people what genius you have, like the 13-year-old boy. What magic you have within you. What dream you have. Frank Lloyd Wright was not a great architect. Frank Lloyd Wright was a great dreamer. He had a vision of what he wanted to do. He wanted the buildings to merge with the landscape, to be almost invisible. You drive by a landscape and you don't even realize there are houses there. Remember the painter who painted the Indians in the trees? And you couldn't even see the Indians unless you really looked. Mm-hmm. They were so blending in with the trees, and the deer and other animals that she painted doing this. Mm-hmm. Now, that's truly an art. Mm-hmm. No. How many artists do you see doing that? Not many, because it's not their thing. Mm-hmm. Now, this woman is utterly fantastic, but it's her thing. She's a Michelangelo in her way. Now, if you want to be a spiritual healer, if you want to be a spiritual master, if you want to live with your original purity and integrity, in divine right order, if you want to live your divinity, then you have to live your divinity. And the way you live your divinity is by following the rules of the program of the University of Healing, the Art and Science of Wholeness. And in the Art and Science of Wholeness, we say, first person present tense positive, first person present tense positive, first person present tense positive. We say that, and then we allow students to put forth work through us that doesn't say that. And that's wrong. That indicates to our other students that's okay, that's part of the program, but it's not okay. It's tough for us too, because we have not been trained from childhood in first person present tense positive. It's very important to really know what our philosophy is. And our philosophy is a very simple, very powerful, very meaningful philosophy of be yourself and have fun. They say, well, my God, you know, that's a lot of latitude. Sure is. Because when you're being yourself and having fun, if you are a good person, you'll be a good person having fun. If you are a divine being, if you're listening to the divine within you, then you are wonderful. And you can do no wrong as far as you're concerned. Now, we read Jonathan Livingston Seagull, we read Illusions by Richard Bach, and in there we read about Donald Simoda. And Donald Simoda gets on this radio program and he antagonizes the people. He antagonizes them with statements that they're not yet ready to acknowledge or admit to. And why did he do that? Well, he was being himself and having fun. He was just being a little fart, you know. And it's not a very nice one. But the thing is, he was having fun. Now, you know a lot of people like that. You know a lot of them, and your friends too. A lot of people who are that way. Now, I'm dealing with a lot of people right at this moment that I know about. And these people are, some of them that you might know about, are having problems with their family and with their world. And they're having problems with the need for wholeness in their life, the need for healing, the need for divine right order. And they want to reiterate their problem. They want to tell me what their problem is. And I say, that's $1,000 an hour to work on that. You tell me what the solution is that you would like to work on, and that's 10 cents an hour. Well, gee, you'd think it would be more expensive to work on the important stuff. No. It's more expensive for me to sit and close my ears and let you talk about the negatives and then finally get it off your chest and then go to work. But why should I fill myself up with your negativity? Because then I'm as negative as you are. And so, if I'm going to work with you on spiritual healing, on spiritual wholeness, I must work with you on the highest. I must work with you on wholeness, not on the problem. And so, as I work with people like this, they say, oh, you're so cold. Oh, you're so unfeeling. You're so difficult to get along with. And I say, yes. I say to you, drive my car anywhere you like. And you say, give me the key. And I say, oh, you want the key. All right. With the key, you can drive the car anywhere you want, can't you? Well, with the key, the teachings of the University of Healing, you can accomplish any goal you have in life. Well, Herb, if you can accomplish any goal you have in life, why don't you do the things that you would like to do? Why don't you do the things that I think you'd like to do? Well, what are the things that you think I'd like to do?
The things you're doing.
Exactly.
Why do you think I do anything? I mean, if I were not playing the game of a sharer or teacher or whatever I'm playing the game of, I would certainly not be sitting among people who were trying. I would be just doing and enjoying myself and saying, I would not say that to hell with the rest of the world. I would just say, the only thing that's important is being myself and having fun. And so then I'd be off being myself and having fun, whatever that can, you know, consist of for me. Now, what is it for you? I am here to show you the way to be yourself and have fun. And if you're really interested in doing that, not just interested in being superior to me and acting as though I don't know what I'm talking about and telling me that I make mistakes all the time and that I'm stupid and that I'm hardly worth hearing, that people don't like to come and hear me and so on. Hey, cool. Cool. You just keep that up. And if that's the case, then why bother coming at all? You can go to all of these fast pitch boys who get out there and gather in the audiences by the thousands. And what happens? Every one of those thousand people have to apply what is said, or what is said is of no value. If they don't apply it, it's no value. Now, why don't those fast artists, those speakers who are gathering such a great audience unto them and doing such a beautiful job, why do they bother doing that? I mean, if they are so skilled and so wonderful, why are they? Because that's what they like to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they like to do. That's what turns them on. And hey, when the time comes that it doesn't turn them on, what's going to happen?
Stop.
They'll do something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know? When it comes time that I'm not turned on by what I'm doing, I'll go do something else too. And you say, well, don't leave us, don't do this. I haven't left you, I cannot leave you, I cannot, I'm not even here. You are here. And you are here wherever you are. And you don't give one hoot and holler in hell where I am. You only care where you are. And so if tomorrow you had an offer to go and find some desert island out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean that is got everything on it and just perfect paradise for you, and it's just for you and there's no room for me, you'd go.
Yeah.
You'd go. And I'd like you to go.
Yeah.
Because that's what you created. I don't possess you. You don't possess me. We just possess whatever our dream is. And I can assure you that if you have an opportunity that is far better than what you think this opportunity is here, you'll be gone in a flash. And I know that, and I don't care. Because I'm here just to do what I like to do. And I do what I like to do. And I'm having fun being me. And I would like you to learn to do that. And some of you are learning the message of being yourself and having fun. And as you're learning this message, then you're learning what the University of Healing is all about. Now, in the University of Healing, there is no disease. There is no unhappiness. There is no lack, no poverty of any kind. There's nothing that is what we would call lesser. There's only what? The allness. And the moment you learn how about the allness, then you will have my key. And you can take my car and drive it anywhere you like. But I would rather have you take your car and drive it anywhere you like. And when you have the key to your car, with perfect health, perfect attitude, perfect mind, genius, allness now, wow. What a wonderful experience that would be. That's what the University's Healing is all about. And why is it that my own family are not as more dedicated to it than others? Well, you can look at Jesus' family too. How many of them were interested in what he was teaching? See, a prophet's not with honor in his own community. And I don't expect that I'm a prophet or I'm with any honor. But the thing is, I'm doing it for myself. Jesus did it for himself. You do it for yourself. And each one of you is a Jesus. Each one of you is the Christ. And each one of you is wonderful. Now, when are you going to wake up to that fact? Now! Right?
Yes.
First person, present tense, positive. First person, present tense, positive. First person, present tense, positive. So, when you have a genius like this young man in Florida who really is getting the message in the art and science of wholeness so beautifully, he's still got a few little bloodsuckers hanging on him of his old ideas of thinking that there's a God outside of him and that Jesus is going to help him and do these things and he's got to have other people, he's got to refer to other people. Now, those little bloodsuckers, we put a little salt on them and they roll off and go away. But the thing is, they don't hurt us. But they hurt us if we allow them to become part of our philosophy. And we will have bloodsuckers coming to you constantly as sappers, as people, and other things. And you just have to put the salt of truth on them, and they'll roll away, or they'll stay. If that is their truth, if that is their philosophy, they'll stay. But usually, they roll away, because you let the past go. You let anything outside of yourself go, and you claim the truth that is within you, now and always. Neat stuff, huh?
Yes.
Have a good morning.
Thank you.
And no, I have one more thing here. I made a note. An athlete or a novice? A master or a dreamer? We'll cover that at lunch. So, have a good morning. And no, I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.